And good afternoon. I'm Al Cresta. With me, Dr. Janet Smith, talking about the conference accompanying and welcoming our brothers and sisters of same-sex attraction and some of the post-conference controversy that came up. Deacon Jim Russell, in particular, wrote about the conference that he didn't think that at least Joseph Prever should have presented himself as an expert. You point out in your own response, Janet, that Prever never did present himself as an expert, but as someone who was simply speaking of his experience. And while there's always risk of people confusing what a speaker is intending, I think in this case, I thought it was pretty clear that Joseph's participation was that of someone who was kind of bearing witness to his own experience rather than an academic who was, very carefully and cautiously reviewing survey data or professional experience.
Yes, I think that's right. Deacon Russell, for a long time, and rightly, has been very concerned with the spiritual friendship, well, I want to call it the Spiritual Friendship Project. Some people call them the new homophiles, which I don't like the term.
Okay.
But, he's been concerned to get this question of gay identity right.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's been a cause of his. And it just sets off all his, his motors get running whenever anybody says I'm gay and I had a gay friend and I did this gay thing, and for him it's, please don't call yourself gay, you're not gay, you're this, and the person wants to say, come on. What I mean is I have same sex attraction. It doesn't mean I identify as gay. It doesn't mean it's the deepest part of my being. All it means is I know this world, I've been there, done that, and I'm not free of these feelings. I'm not free of them. So I think there's that with Deacon Russell. I thought Prever's, and one of the complaints that Russell had about Prever is that during the conference, he sent out some critical tweets on Twitter.
These were tweets commenting on other presenters, and
right,
okay,
yeah, and they were getting under his skin. It's mm-hmm. like he's just like. I find this a tedious joke. I hear people talking about me as if they know me, and they don't. It wasn't so much of the conference. I thought he was very much expressing his discomfort with certain things that were being said.
But he was doing it on tweets, which are a public communication.
They are public. And I think you can certainly... I don't really have any objection to anybody says that's bad manners, all right? I can see that being received as bad manners.
Sure.
On the other hand, we put Joseph in a very difficult spot. He came at our request to reveal some very deep things about his own being to a crowd that wasn't all that, for a lot of people in the crowd, were already predisposed not to like what he was going to say. And so there's so I'm thinking, if I were a man in his position, I think my hackles would be getting up a lot too, and so it's customary for this generation to express their immediate feelings in an immediate way, even in this very public forum.
Mm-hmm.
And, and I want to say, I don't want to fuss about that too much. It's not a big deal to me. And even more than that, I was glad to hear what he was finding problematic. Part of this conference was certainly to listen to people who have same-sex attraction. If they found certain things that were being said offensive, or I'm not sure they're right to, but I just want to at least know it.
Right.
I mean, that was bothering you? Okay, good. I'm glad to know that.
Yes.
You know?
What did you think he presented in his own experience that people were unprepared to hear or resistant to?
Well, I'm not even certain I actually heard what he was saying. Because every time he said the word gay, I think a lot of people they would just immediately say, well, you shouldn't say that, and they couldn't hear the next thing he said.
Okay.
So I think that was part of it. And again, I think there's, even though both, I mean, this is another thing a lot of people have trouble with, and I do think there's a way in which both Eve and Joey are somewhat different. I mean, they've been out of whatever it was. If I don't know how much they ever really are part of a gay lifestyle.
Mm-hmm.
I don't even know about that. But they've, for maybe 15 years, approximately, both of them have had spiritual directors. So they've had a very personal engagement with a very deep person who helps them make sense of their journey.
Mm-hmm.
And so they will say things, you know, like there were positive things in my journey, some positive things in my relationships. And there's a lot of people that want to say, how could sin be positive? How could those relationships that were based on sin be positive? And they want to say, well, and I suspect they were guided by their spiritual directors to some extent to see this. You know, and say, well, that's where I did learn to be self-giving. That's where I did learn to, you know, I could have learned it in heterosexual relationships, but that's not where I was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and this person made a sacrifice for me, and I made sacrifices for this person. I learned
right.
to put someone above myself. So I think people aren't prepared to hear that. When they hear you say something about, that there was something positive about my experience, that all, there are certain things that I understandably get all agitated.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there's something to that.
You know, this is not an uncommon problem. For instance, I remember a young woman who eventually left Sun Myung-moon's Unification Church because she became convinced he was a false prophet.
Mm-hmm.
However, when she got involved in that group, she was incredibly undisciplined, and that group, having to conform to some of their expectations, taught her to be more self-possessing and to learn how to get up at a certain time in the morning and, you know, take care of her life a little more. So she would be able to say positive things about being involved in that Sun Myung-moon's Unification Church, even long after she completely rejected the group's doctrine.
Mm-hmm.
So it seems to me there's something parallel here. You can have positive experiences within a spiritual and moral context, which eventually you come to reject.
Yes, I think that's sometimes that's hard for us to hear, and we don't want to hear that.
Right.
But I think there's certain ways in which Eve especially speaks to challenge us. I mean, she mentioned that she'd been to some, I think it was a Christian gay conference or something, and a lot of those Christian gays, unfortunately, don't believe in celibacy,
right.
and or chastity, as we would certainly understand it.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, but she talked about how welcoming and kind they were and all of this. And,
yeah.
again, a lot of us want to say, wow!
But it's
pushing us outside of our comfort zones. And I think, Joseph said some things I thought that were very illuminating. At one point, he talked about feeling like he was a monster, all right? That he had, because of his same-sex attraction,
mm-hmm.
he really was this monstrous sexual person. And he said that he had this idea in his head that he couldn't be sexually mature until he at least had heterosexual feelings, because that was the right way to be.
Mm.
And so he couldn't even think about saying, I'm a chaste person or I have sexual maturity, unless I'm a heterosexual.
I see.
And then I don't know what thought process brought him to seeing that. He said, I was thinking about the, you know, the 14-year-old boy who's sitting on his bed looking at Playboy. And he said, somehow I always thought that kid was more sexually mature than I was, just because he's a heterosexual.
Because he had heterosexual desire.
Right. Huh. And he said, you know, and then I realized if I have same-sex desires, but I know that they're wrong, and I'm not trying to look upon people as objects, and I'm not trying to use people to satisfy my sexual needs, then I'm sexually more mature than he is. And I think that kind of insight, if for those who would be talking to young men who have same-sex attraction, who are, you know, trying for chastity and feeling, knowing that they might think that they're sexual monsters, and
right.
knowing that they might
right.
think they couldn't possibly have sexual maturity or chastity until they have same-sex desires, say, wait a second.
Right.
It's just sort of a no to listen for that, no to listen. He also said that he wanted to have healthy male relationships with heterosexuals. And he thought, boy, if I could manage that, then maybe I could stop being homosexual.
Yeah.
And And that didn't work.
Right.
And it's just like, but if we should know that this is what young men are might be thinking, right, it could so help us in how to welcome and accompany them.
It seems absolutely essential if you're going to offer an effective pastoral assistance. So I agree with you. I think hearing, and you and I have talked about this. I mean, I thought Eve was especially dodgy and evasive in certain questions that you asked, but I actually was somewhat sympathetic in as much as I've interviewed her as well. And I found the same thing. But that, I still think she brings to the discussion a certain insight. And I think the question some people want to know is if she's being an apologist for a particular point of view, the spiritual friendship point of view, which in the long run is going to be untenable because it will.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I very much share those concerns, but again, as I said at the conference, she kept introducing me to realities that I would say I didn't even know existed. Again, the one that blew me away is when she told me that her gay, lesbian, something group at the church, it's a very liberal church, evidently, in D.C., and apparently the mission statement is very strong, that this group will do nothing that is, you know, not in accord with church teaching, and they mean that.
Yeah.
It's just not lip service. But they allow anybody into the group, those who are sexually active and those who are not. Anybody who just wants to be in the group can come to the group. And what they do is, the two things that when I was talking to them, they did is they went to an art museum in D.C. that had an exhibit about Mary, the Mother of God, in art. And she said it was all guys, I think, that she went with. And she said some of them wept. They found these pictures to be just so moving.
Yeah.
And another thing they were doing was going to adoration. You know, and as I said at the conference, if you had asked me, what does a gay lesbian church group do on a Saturday afternoon? I'd say bowling. I don't know. You know, I don't begin to know. Go for snacks. I don't know. But going to view pictures of Mary, it was in the same, wow, there's a group of people out there that are doing something with their lives that is beautiful, and I want to know about it.
Janet,
I want to know about the possibilities.
Janet, hold it there. We'll come back. We'll have just 2 minutes or so to wrap up. My guest, Dr. Janet Smith. Our topic, the recent accompanying and welcoming conference in Plymouth, Michigan.